And just because I've gone on holidays doesn't mean I haven't forgotten that I'm encouraging you to bring your Bibles with you. So if you have your Bibles, whether it's on a device or whether it's a physical Bible or you want to grab one from the back of the chairs there, I want you to flip to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke's in the New Testament. It is the third book in the New Testament. So Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at the first four verses this morning, just briefly as we introduce the new sermon series. So Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. This is the word of the Lord. In some of the confusion around certain things this weekend, I forgot to bring the object lesson that I was going to bring. And so you guys are going to have to imagine with me. It's going to be an imagination lesson instead of an object lesson. But that's okay. What I was going to bring is I was going to bring a balance board. And I forgot to bring the balance board. We had guests come in just late yesterday afternoon, and then some other things happened. So I apologize. You'll have to forgive me. But I was going to bring a balance board. And on the balance board, if you've ever been on a balance board, there's a wheel and then there's a board on top of it and you're trying to balance on it. The trick on a balance board to be able to balance properly is to pick a point somewhere away from you and focus on that point. And as you focus on that point, it makes it easier to balance. If you look down at your feet, if you're looking down there, you go all over the place and you go back and forth and wonky. But if you can look out and pick a point, you're able to balance. It's something like being on a boat, right? If you're on a boat and the boat's really, really rocking, you look out at the horizon, right? You fix your eyes on the horizon and you fix your eyes there. Because if you look around, you're going to get sick. You're going to get disoriented. Just like on the balance board, if you start looking down or you start looking close to you, you get disoriented and you're uneven and you're unbalanced and you're all over the place. In our lives, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, when we pull our eyes away from Christ, we get unbalanced. We get on really shaky ground. We start to be moved all over the place by little things that are happening. We start to focus on different things besides Jesus. It pushes us this way and that way. And so in our new sermon series, which I call Encountering Jesus, and as well, Encountering Jesus Again, maybe it's again. Maybe for you it's the first time that you're encountering Jesus. We're going to be looking at stories through the book of Luke of people encountering Jesus and how Jesus treats them, how Jesus meets them and greets them, and how they respond to him. And so we're gonna look through that, and I want to encourage you as we do this to remember your own story of how you encountered Jesus. And whether that was your encounter for the first time of how you encountered Jesus, or maybe how you've encountered Jesus recently in your life, how he's come in to your life. Because it's so easy to have our eyes elsewhere. It's so easy to get our eyes pulled away. And there's lots of important things out there to think about. There's lots of important and good things to think about. There's lots of bad things to think about too. But there's lots of important things to think about. But they cannot become the most important thing. Because when they become the most important thing, our balance is thrown off. And we don't have solid ground to stand on anymore. And we're moving this way and that. And when winds come our way, then we get pushed one way. And then we get pushed another way. And we always feel like we're off center. We're off balance. And we seek stability. We want something solid. We want something true that transcends this world. I don't know what the future is going to bring. You might have heard me say this before, but I don't know what the future's going to bring. I don't know what next week is going to bring. I barely even know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I do know this, that it's high time we in the church took our faith seriously. It's high time that we in the church decided that this was the most important thing, that our faith is the most important thing there is. It's high time that we fix our eyes again upon Jesus, encounter Jesus again. And the first step to that is to pull our eyes from things of the world and put them back on Christ and encounter him anew and afresh. And that's what we're going to endeavor to do as we go through the Gospel of Luke. So just quickly in this intro that Luke gives, Luke talks about that he writes about the things that have occurred or been fulfilled among us. He says, I've undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Other translations will say the things that have occurred among us. And that's one of the things we really got to remember, because it's a common mistake to look at Christianity, to look at the Bible as advice on something you have to do. That here's a book of rules, a book of advice on something you have to do. But it's not. It's primarily news about what God has done, what has been fulfilled, what has occurred. This is something that has happened among us. It's not a list of rules that you have to fulfill. It's news of something that's happened. And Luke writes, he says, I wrote so that you may have certainty. So that you may have certainty. There's a bit of a move out in the world right now towards the idolization of doubt. That doubt is in some way a good thing. And I'm not saying we should never doubt, and we should doubt sometimes, and we should ask questions, and we should I think maybe it's Tim Keller that puts it out, you should also doubt your doubts. And look into it and find certainty, because there's certainty to be found in God's Word. And it's not virtuous just to doubt and stay in the doubting place. Right? Doubt should drive you to find the certainty. And so Luke says, I write so that you may have certainty. He writes a trustworthy account, which is kind of hard for us to believe because we have so few trustworthy accounts in our time. It's very easy to question everything. We've been told to question everything. But Luke says, I'm writing a trustworthy account. What's interesting is one of the other gospel writers also tells us why he's writing. So Luke says, I'm writing this so that you may have certainty about the things that have occurred. You may have certainty about what Jesus did. You may have certainty about what he taught. You may have certainty about what you've been told. Another one of the gospel writers, John, says, I'm writing this so that you may believe. And by believing, you may have eternal life. And so this is kind of, in a nutshell, the life of a Christian. Knowledge, understanding, certainty about what Jesus has done, but also belief, faith, eternal life. In that faith. An ancient bishop named Anselm, who lived in the 10th century, said that the Christian faith is faith seeking understanding. That is, faith in Jesus Christ prompts a questioning search for deeper understanding. Right? The great song, Just As I Am, is an amazing sign that God accepts us just as I am. But by his grace and by his mercy, he doesn't leave us where we are. He brings us into deeper understanding. He brings us into deeper knowledge of him. And in turn, that deeper knowledge of him produces a deeper faith and a stronger faith. And in turn, that faith yearns for more understanding of him. And as we grow in the understanding, the faith gets deeper. And as the faith gets deeper, we want more understanding. And it's back and forth as God grows us up into the head of the church, that is Jesus Christ. This is the Christian faith, knowing and believing, faith and understanding. Faith without understanding is shallow. And understanding without faith is sterile. We need faith and understanding. So this is what Luke's writing for. So you can have certainty. So you can know. You can know these things to be true. Man, I think we all yearn right now to know what's true, don't we? We all want to know what's true. And we know who Luke is writing to. Luke is writing to Theophilus. Now, scholars are split over whether Theophilus is a real, unique person that he's writing to, or if Theophilus is a characterization, a personification of a group of people, or not. Because the name Theophilus means friend of God. Now, I tend to lean that this is a person who has commissioned Luke to write this, so he might know. This is somebody who's learning that he might know. This is, and so he wanted to know more, so he commissions Luke, the doctor, to do this. That's where I lean. But Theophilus, friend of God. Now, we don't know if Theophilus is a converted Christian or not, or he's just an interested outsider whom God is drawing to himself. But maybe I think you can find yourself in one of those two categories, a converted Christian or maybe an interested outsider who God is drawing to himself. But this Theophilus is a seeker of truth. He wants to know. He wants to have certainty. He wants to find out, is this true? Is what I'm taught true? We should all want to find that out. And so Luke goes out and he seeks the truth where he could find it. He goes and he sees eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, who talked to Jesus, who heard him teach. He goes and he finds servants of the word who are teaching this, and he asks them to get it right, to make sure he gets it right. He carefully investigates where the truth can be found, and he investigates what the truth is. And so for us, I mean, I think that brings up a question for us. Will we be seekers of the truth? Will we seek it out where it can be found? Will we go and find it? It wasn't too long ago I decided, I was making dinner at home, and it wasn't too long ago I thought, well, I need to chop up something. I need to chop up a number of things. I'm going to use the food processor. And so as I used it, and through no fault of my own, it broke. Wasn't my fault. It was a silly design. I don't know. Anyway, it broke, and it couldn't be used anymore, so I had to go buy a new one because my wife told me I had to go buy a new one. And so before I bought a new one, I spent some time researching it. I spent some time reading. I spent some time making sure that we got the right one. Now, I'm saying that this is a virtue that I did this. D might say sometimes that it's not a virtue that I do this because it takes too long to make a decision. But I took the time and I investigated. I read some reviews. You know, I looked at different things. I looked at, you know, the size and the motor size and all these, like, really interesting things about food processors. So if you want to know anything about food processors, you can come talk to me. I investigated. I looked for the truth. I looked where it could be found, so I could be knowledgeable, so I could be certain in some way. The matter of eternal life is so much greater than any purchase. And yet oftentimes we treat it as much less. We spend so much time on other things. I've asked this question a lot lately, and usually the person I ask is uncomfortable to answer it. So they're uncomfortable with their answer. And this is the question. If you look at what you've read, if you look at your conversations and your thoughts over the past 6 months, what percentage of them have been about your faith? And what percentage of them have been about something else? It's an uncomfortable question to ask ourselves. Because I would guess in our time, in our day, right now, that the percentage is out of whack. God has so much more for you. God has so much more for your life than what the world offers. God sought you out. He wanted you to be part of his family. He wanted a family, and he wanted you to be in it. And so he sought you out. Right? We talk about encountering Jesus, but the truth is that Jesus is the one who comes to us. He is the one who seeks us out. He is the one who finds us. And now he calls you to seek him. He calls you to fix your eyes on him, to follow him. Not everything else that's in the world, but him. To have a single-minded pursuit after Jesus Christ, which in turn is going to deepen your faith, which in turn is going to give you a firmer and firmer foundation to stand upon. Don't we want a firm foundation to stand upon? Martin Luther, when he was getting going through the Inquisition of the Catholic Church, the Diet of Worms, he was told that he had to recant. He was telling the Catholic Church of the time that when I read the Scriptures, when I read in the Scriptures, what I see is we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and not all these other things that the Catholic Church has added to the gospel. This was around in the 1500s. And they pulled him up, and they pulled him up before the Diet of Worms, and they told him to recant. And they gave him a day to go back and think about it, that he might recant his position. And he came back to them the next day, and he stood before them, and he said, "Because of Scripture and because of my conscience, here I stand, and I can do no other." Friends, we need to stand upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and be unapologetic about it. Here I stand, and I can do no other. This is where God would have us stand, with a firm foundation. Tom Wright says that Luke thus constructs this grand doorway to his gospel, this grand doorway to faith, and he invites us to come in and make ourselves at home. Here we will find security. Here we'll find a solid basis for lasting faith. So I want to invite you to join me on this journey. Join me as we go through the book of Luke, as we go through the gospel and look at people who encountered Jesus. Join me on this journey of us encountering Jesus again. Join me in fixing our eyes on Jesus once again and letting the things of the world grow strangely dim. Join me in finding a firm foundation for our life and for our faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that because of your word, we can have certainty of the things that have occurred. We thank you that through your word, we can know what you've said. We can know who you are. We can understand your plan. Thank you, because of your word, we can be brought back into fixing our eyes upon you. And we ask also that because of your Spirit within us, that you will draw us to yourself. You will, as Dennis said, light a fire in us for the lost around us. Sorry, as Eileen said, that you'll light a fire in us for the lost around us. And also for our own faith, Lord. That it would be faith seeking understanding, that you would grow us, you would transform us and change us, give us strength and courage to stand on the firm foundation that we've been given. Here we stand. We can and we will do no other. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand and sing our closing hymn with me?